Week 3 is the candle of joy. As we light the third Advent candle, we are reminded that Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. And that's Malachi 4:2.
Psalms 28:9 says, "Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever."
Psalms 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want."
Isaiah 40:11, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young."
John 10:11, "The Lord says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep."
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Father, the shepherds of old were full of your praises, saying that all they had heard and seen was mirrored by what they had been told. Help us to hear and experience the wonder and joy of the birth of your Son as we eagerly await his birthday celebration. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. Welcome, everyone, to New Harmony Baptist Church. Excited to see you this great almost Christmas season. Excited about tonight. Tonight will be our Christmas play. Come out and join us if you can. Our youth is looking forward to putting this on, and I'm sure Derek's looking forward to having the stress off of him from dealing with this. And they practiced a long time. It's going to be a really good play. Got a really good meaning, of course. And I ask you to come, bring your family with you, bring your neighbors with you, or anybody that wants to come. We'd love to have them all here. And remember also, we'll be having a meal afterwards. So come for that, of a time of fellowship, and really looking forward to it. It's a great time of year. And of course, if we've seen our Advent take place over the last 3 weeks, we know that as we look forward to the Christmas season that we celebrate, which is December 25th, we know that that's the time set aside that we celebrate the birth of Christ. And I hope you've taken the time, the weeks, the Advent up to it, to really get in your heart and mind what was given. The gift that was given on that Christmas morning was for you. It wasn't just for a lost world. It was that, but it was for you. You're the one, you're the reason he came. You're the reason he died. Everything was about you. So thankful for that this morning. Do we have any prayer requests before we get into our service? I ask you to remember my mother and my family, as mother's not doing well at all. She's just pretty much laying there at this point. So I ask y'all to remember us and just pray. I know God's will is perfect. So I also remember Maldie. Remember all the ones that's fighting cancer, the ones that's fighting many other illnesses. There's people in need all around us. I ask you to remember those families that's lost loved ones. Not going to try to mention all of them. There's a lot around our community that's lost loved ones the last few weeks. Just ask that you remember each one. Any others? If not, we'll go to the Lord in prayer and ask you to pray for this service this morning. Heavenly Father, we come again thanking you for the day you've given us. We thank you for each one that come out to your house this morning. God, we ask that you bless in a mighty way. Lord, I ask you bless our singers. They come to sing praises unto you. And that, Lord, that we would be here for no other reason than honor and glorify the name of Jesus. Father, as we celebrate the Christmas season that's so fastly coming upon us, I ask that you let us all slow down just a little bit and be thankful for the gift you gave for each one of us, which was your precious Son. And God, as we have this service this morning and look forward to our play tonight, we ask that your Spirit be among us in a mighty way. That, Lord, we can know that you're in our presence. And, Father, we thank you for that. And, Lord, I ask you to be with our singers as they sing. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
skies of Bethlehem appeared a star. While angels sang to lowly shepherds, three wise men seeking truth, they traveled from afar, hoping to find the child from heaven. Falling on their knees, they bowed before the humble Prince of Peace. We bring an offering of worship to our King. No one on earth deserves the praises that we sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. Holy One of Heaven, it's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that we sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due.
Thank you.
Y'all want me to follow that? Y'all better be glad I can't sing like that, is all I can tell you. I would never shut up. Huh? Yeah. I do have to admit, though, as I listen to that song, I keep thinking about Shrek. Those of y'all seen the movie know what I'm talking about. But I enjoyed that song. Great singing. Boy, excited to be here this morning and celebrating, getting close to celebrating the birth of Christ. And the message has been on my heart about really who he is all Christmas season and what he means to us. And not just what he means to us, but what does he mean to me? And I think that's what gets left out a lot of times is we know what he is to the world, but what is he to us? And that's what matters. You see, Jesus is personal. It's a personal relationship. We know he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but what is he to you? And that's the question that Joseph had to answer in Matthew chapter 1. I know we preached out of these same verses last week, but Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, we're going to read them once again even and pick something else out of there that the Lord has laid on our heart. You see, as the angel come to tell Joseph that the baby that was in Mary's womb was not of any man. It was put there by the Holy Ghost. We know that at that point that the angel began telling Joseph what the name of the child should be. And it's very easy to look at all the names. I went back and looked at all the names of Christ throughout the scriptures, and I was going to print them out and read them, but we'd be here all day. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha, the Omega. It goes on. He's the root of Jesse. This thing keeps going on. He is everything. He's the great I Am. You could just keep going with the names for Christ throughout the scriptures. They begin in Genesis and go all the way to Revelations about who he is. And I guess I put down the wrong scripture or something on the thing or something. But Matthew chapter number 1, verses 18 through 25. It wasn't up there. The reason I thought I put down the wrong one. It just appeared. But this very familiar verses because we read them last week, but let's read them again. I won't ask you to stand because a little bit of reading, so stay seated today. But as we preach this, I want you to think about this one thought is he called his name Jesus. He called his name Jesus. It says, now on the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, while they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Father, we thank you for this name today. God, we thank you for this word today that we have to preach, and that we have to listen to, and we have to read, that we may know who your son is. We may know what he is, and what he means to us. And God, we thank you for that today. God, I ask you to open hearts and minds in this place, that God will leave with a little better understanding about who he is and about who we're celebrating and about what he is to everybody. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. In that part, it says he called his name Jesus. Now, I began thinking on this thing this week. Of all the things he could call him, he decided to go with the Word of God. And you see, that's something that all of us must understand, is the revealing of the name of who he is must come from the Word of God. It must be revealed to you. No man can tell you who he is. The Word of God must reveal to you who this man Jesus is. And by the way, the name Jesus, interpreted in the Greek and Hebrew, is the same name as Joshua. It means Savior. It means Savior. And you see where I'm going with this. In revealing of that name, the angel was showing Joseph that although his name also is Emmanuel, which is God with us, to you. He says, but thou, that word thou means you. He said, you must call his name Jesus. That means also to Joseph, us God, this is good. Also to Joseph, he must be his Savior as he must be your Savior. Just because Joseph was his earthly father didn't mean anything special. For Joseph to go to heaven, Jesus still had to be Jesus to him. He still had to be Savior. And listen today, if you're in this place, it don't matter. You may call Him Emmanuel. You may call Him the very Son of God. He is those things, and all those things are good. But before you can go to heaven, you must call His name Jesus. You must call Him Jesus. He must be your Savior. The Bible plainly teaches this. The word angel means messenger. It says He sent a message. He sent an angel to Joseph. He sent a messenger. And now listen, I'm not trying to toot my own horn today or anybody or any other preacher in this place, but you go to to Revelation and you know what the word preacher is interpreted. It's interpreted angel. And the reason it's angel, because it's the same thing, a preacher or an angel is simply a messenger of God. And today I'm nothing special. I simply try to preach the word of God. But today you too have been sent a messenger through me, or whether it's Terry that preaches or anybody else that preaches the word of God. When they begin telling you the word of God, guess what they are to you? They are a messenger. You've been given a message from God about who this baby is to be to you, about who this child is to be to you, and about who this man is to be to you. You see, today, each one of us has been sent a message. Oh, I'm thankful that somebody gave me a message one day about Jesus, that somebody gave me a message that my eyes may be open and I may understand what that thing talked about. It just happened to be Brother Alton Stamey. If you know him, he is a hilarious guy. He is fun to be around, but he's one of the best preachers of getting you to understand the gospel that I've ever been around. But he explained to me the gospel. He was my messenger of getting me to understand who this man Jesus was. I had heard about Jesus. I'd heard things talked about him. I'd heard preachers talk about him. But that day, Alton was my messenger. He was the one that told me who this man was to be to me. He was to be my Savior if I was to go to heaven. I must be born again. I must be saved. And the Bible teaches, I'm going to get ahead of myself, but I'm going to go there anyway, that there's no name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. It don't say under the name of the great I Am, because He is that. But it says under the name of Jesus, which is Savior, that men must be saved. Today, if you're going to be saved, if you're going to heaven, it must be through Jesus. There's no other way. It's not in anything. And you see, I've got to work with a Jewish fellow lately. He was born, raised Baptist, but he's gotten in a Jewish church, Jewish synagogue, up in Rome. And I began talking to him, and he begins to ask him, I said, why are you going to that thing? He said, I believe there's more to this than what the Baptists are teaching. He said, I believe not only is Jesus the only way, but I believe we should have to keep some of the law. I said, oh, really? That's not in the scriptures that I read. In the scripture I read, it says Jesus came to fulfill the law. He tells us not to abolish the law, but we must that He come to fulfill the law, and in Him all things is done. We know that in the scriptures that Peter, Paul got on to him about trying to add in laws to this thing. You see, what I wanted you to understand today is it's Christmas season. We're going to be giving a bunch of stuff away as people. We give people money. We give people groceries. We give people our time. We give people a lot of things, and we walk around with a warm, fuzzy feeling about it. But honey, that don't matter one iota to your salvation. You must come through a man named Jesus. Amen. You must come through Him. The angel told him, said, Joseph, don't be afraid to trust in Mary. What she's telling you is true. This baby's going to be born, but he must have the right name, and he must have the right name unto you. Ain't you glad that this thing is personal? That it's personal. Just as He come to Joseph, He must come to you. The message must come to you. Now listen, the church and the unchurched have many names for Jesus. He's called Rabbi. He's called, of course, I went over Emmanuel, God with us, the great I Am. You could just keep going on about these. I told you I was going to print them out, but there was many of them. And you see, the church people can tell you a lot of names for Jesus. You go out to the unchurched and you ask them about this, and they say, well, I was in Bible school one time, and I heard Him called this. I heard Him, He's a King of Kings. I've heard Him called all these things. But listen, when you mention the name Jesus, things begin happening. You can go out and anywhere in the world you want to, and you can talk about God, and everybody's pretty much okay with it. You got some nuts that's not, but most everybody's pretty much okay with it. Because all of them believe in some kind of God. But when you mention the name Jesus, you begin ruffling feathers. When you begin saying there's only one name under heaven, whereby must men must be saved, then you begin causing problems. And He taught this would happen. You see, the world don't want to believe this. Nobody else wants to accept it in this day and time we live in. But I believe it was taught in the Bible, and I believe it still should be taught that only one name of where a man can be saved, and His name is Jesus. Amen. And you must make much of Him. A lot of names. But to you, is He Jesus to you? Is He Savior to you? Has He saved you? What does that mean? You see, you was lost. Even at birth, the Bible teaches that we are sinners. We don't get no choice in this thing because Adam fell, we're thrown in there. We all given this sin nature. We've got to get away from it some way. And the only way to do this is Jesus. At some point in your life, has the Spirit of God drawn you and you have answered the call and you've received Him into your life? And is He Jesus to you? Or is He that little baby? Or is He the man upstairs? Or is He... You see, all the world knows He's King of Kings. But to you, to your personal life, is He Jesus? The revealing of the name must be revealed by a messenger. It must be revealed from the Word of God. I've heard Terry talks about on Wednesday nights. He said he knew a fellow one time that said him and God had a little understanding. I've heard people say that they have made a deal with God. I've heard people say, I've got a pretty good understanding of God. Me and him's made this kind of, we got an agreement, me and God do, that I'm going to do this and he's going to do this and this and that. Listen, the only agreement you've got with God is that he's God and you're you. And that he can do what he wants to anytime he wants to. And he set the ground rules of how you must be brought back in reconciliation with him. And that was through his son Jesus. And listen, by the way, you don't get to decide any minute you want to that you're going to receive him. The Bible teaches, well, that's the drawing of the Spirit. Man cannot be saved, my friend. That's the same thing that happened to Joseph when the angel came. The messenger came and he said, Joseph, you shall call his name Jesus. That messenger must come to you and say he must be Jesus to you. That's the way you receive this name. It must be revealed to you. Secondly, the redemption in the name. Redemption in Acts chapter 4, verse 10 and 12. Be it known unto you all and to all people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which become the head of the corner. Neither is our salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It said by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the man who y'all crucified. That's the only way you can be saved. That's the only name given under heaven whereby redemption lies for mankind. There is absolutely, you're going to hear it a million times today. You're going to hear it a million times all Christmas season. But there's no other way. Only by this name, in the name of Jesus, can you be saved. There's no other name. He was telling them right there, and they're still telling us today that there's no way that man can be right with God except by Jesus. People try many things, even today. People believe you still have to keep some of the law. I mentioned some of that. People believe you've got to do this and that. You've got to, and there's even some that still sacrifice animals. We know that's far yonder in the past. That's in the old times. We've been given something new in this man named Jesus. There's only redemption in this name. He must be Jesus to you and your Savior. You must have received His gift of salvation that the Father has revealed to you. After it's been revealed, you have to receive it. You see, Joseph, he had an opportunity right there. When the angel revealed to him who this boy baby was to be and the name of the baby was to be, Joseph had a choice he could make. He could say, well, I'll just go ahead and do what I was wanting to do. I'll put her away privately. I'll just do away with this thing. I'm not going to be tied to this stuff. I'm a Jewish boy, and I believe this, and I know how all the Jews should be, and I don't know what this angel's talking about. I'm just going to do this and that. No, by faith, he realized something, who this child must be. You understand that Joseph believed Jesus by faith. By faith. What he was asked to do was hard. What he was asked to do was to believe that the Holy Spirit of God had implanted a baby in the womb of his espoused wife, his fiance, and that nothing had happened, that thing was put there by God. And I don't know about you, but if that was come to me, that would be pretty hard to believe, wouldn't it? That would be pretty tough to comprehend. And today, we're asking people to believe that a man came and died for their sins, and he rose again from the grave, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And we expect people to believe that. That's called faith. Everything to do with God is by faith. I have never seen God, but I've got faith He's there. I've never seen God. I've never laid my eyes upon Him. I've seen things that God has done. I've seen things that I've heard the still small voice in my life. I've heard that, but physically, I've never saw God with my eyes. I've never touched Him with my hands. I've never tasted with my tongue. I've never heard Him speak audibly. I've heard a still small voice, but listen, in all of that, you know what? God chose to operate by faith. And Joseph had to operate by faith, and today you will have to operate by faith. You see people standing there waiting for a lightning bolt to come down and strike them, I believe. The still small voice speaks to them and reveals to them who the name Jesus is to be to them, and they still turn away. And listen, what are you waiting on today? Are you waiting on a lightning bolt to strike you, such as Paul did? If you did, it's probably not going to happen. God requires you to operate by a little thing called faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. That's in Hebrews. It must be by faith. Romans 3:24. Listen to this. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Do you see redemption in any other thing in that scripture? There's not redemption in absolutely nothing else. It don't say redemption in your tithes and offerings, although I believe you should do that. It don't say redemption in your church attendance, although I believe you ought to be here every time the doors is open. It don't say redemption through anything else you can do. It says redemption is in Christ Jesus. By the way, do you get that little word right there? In front of Christ, it says in Christ. In Christ Jesus is where redemption is. How in the world is it in Him? How can me, being outside, being a lost sinner, how can I be in Christ? You see, the Bible teaches that once a man is born again, he becomes a new creature. And the Spirit of God, which we know the three is one, He comes and dwells in us. We become in Christ Jesus miraculously. We become joint heirs with Him. We become in Him. He talks a lot in Scripture about abiding in Him, about staying in Him, about staying together with Him and staying right there just as a grapevine. For it to bear grapes must abide into the vine. The branch can't do it on its own. It must abide into the vine. So listen, today, the only way redemption comes is through those who are in Christ Jesus. Not have heard about Christ Jesus, not as saw a book about Christ Jesus or even read about Christ Jesus, but to have redemption, you must be in Christ Jesus. In Him. That comes at the moment that you receive Him. You're placed in there. Don't ask me how it happens. It's miraculous. It's done by God. We preached about the virgin birth last week. I can't explain any of that to you. I mentioned Adrian Rogers said in his writings, if you could understand the virgin birth, he's ashamed of you because you're a liar. Because you can't understand it, but you must believe it. And listen, this is the same way with the salvation experience. I've talked to people who have been saved, and I've seen a dramatic change in their life. We was talking about one last night. This man was the most ornery guy I had ever met. He was grouchy as he could be. And today, he's one of the most laid-back people you'll ever want to meet. Pleasant to be around. But listen, before he was saved, he was ornery. He was grouchy. He was no fun. He didn't have any joy in his life. He was just miserable in the world. And now that he's got Christ, guess what? Something happened. And listen, I don't know why we tend not to believe this. The Bible teaches at the moment of salvation, we become a brand new creature. And listen, the brand new creature don't have anything that resembles the old creature other than the looks. The inside is changed. This man is a perfect example. He's a complete opposite of the old man. And we say, well, I don't know what happened to old brother so-and-so. Well, I do, bless God. He's abiding in Christ. He's in Christ Jesus. He's been redeemed. There's something new about Him. And listen, by the way, I'm going to throw this in there, not to make you doubt, but to make you sure. If you say that you've been born again, you've been saved, and listen, you can sin and just okay with it, and nothing bothers you, and there's no difference made in you than honey, you might ought to check up a little bit, because in Christ Jesus is a brand new creature, a brand new creation. You must be born again. Why must you be born again? Because the old creature won't get it. It takes a new one. You must be born again. Being justified by the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Thank God for that. Not only is there redemption in the name, rejoicing through Jesus. Rejoicing. Boy, don't we like to rejoice. This time of the year, we'll hear about rejoicing a lot. Rejoice at the name we hear. Rejoice before the songs. Rejoice at the great spiritual time of the year, the birth of Christ. There should be rejoicing at His name. But listen, Romans 5:11. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received His atonement. We saw also joy. Boy, that word is more than happy. That's something that somebody can't take from you. You see, somebody can take happy from you. You can be just happy. You can be so happy here this morning, you got to sit on your hands to keep from clapping. Now, you can go outside and your car won't crank. Guess what? The happiness has been robbed. The happiness has been gone. You go outside and your car's burned up or somebody stole it. You're not going to be happy. But bless God, joy is something that is put there at the moment that you become abiding in Christ, and it cannot be taken from you. It is there by God, and you cannot change it. The joy we have in Christ. The little word, or whatever you call it. We read that in Sunday school. What's it called when a word, you take the letters and make a something? Acrostic. Me and Rudy got it mixed up last time, but we're still right. You take the word joy. My girl says, I have this one all backwards. It's Jesus, others, and yourself. Jesus, others, and yourself. It's what joy is supposed to mean. We hear a lot about joy during Christmas. We tell the world they should be joyful. Listen, they cannot be joyful if they're not in Christ Jesus. They cannot be joyful. They can be happy. They can have emotions, but they cannot be joyful. Joyful is knowing you've got something that nobody can take away. We should tell the world this joy, and not just this time of year, but every day we should tell about the wondrous joy that we have in Christ Jesus. We should tell everybody. John chapter 15, verse 11 and 12. Listen to this. John chapter 15, verse 11 and 12. These things have I spoken to you that you might that my joy might remain in you. Now, what does it say? That my joy might remain in you. In other words, if it remains, it's not going to be gone. And that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So how in the world do you keep this joy of being at the place it should be? I just told you, Jesus, others, and yourself. I have seen so much of this Christmas season. I don't understand. I guess, yeah, I understand it, because I've been missing it for years. You see, this thing is about Christ. Understand that. He's all in all, but it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about serving others is what the Christian life is about. And I've been taught that so much lately, I can't even tell you. It's about others. You want to be joyful? You want to feel the joy? Love one another as I have loved you. We went to the jail yesterday, me and my boss, to visit a guy that has worked for us. And if he pays his dues, he'll probably work for us again, if that's possible. We went, and there was a separation between me and him. If you've ever been to Cleburne County, I'm sure all jails like this, a piece of glass. And you talk with a telephone. That's how you communicate with them. And I saw as they would come out, and their family members would be standing on the other side of that glass. No matter what they did wrong, no matter what they was incarcerated for, when they saw that husband, wife, or child, or whatever it was, a smile come to their face. And you know what? My heart was burdened. There was a separation between them. You see, we overlook those people mightily in our culture today. You say, well, they are this. They are child molesters. They are murderers. Yes, they are. And they must pay their dues for it. I believe Jesus taught that. But do you ever remember in the scripture where he said, I was hungry and you fed me? And he said, I was thirsty and you give me to drink? But do you ever listen that he said something else? He said, I was in jail and you visited me. I was in prison and you come to me. Listen, church, it's our job as Christians, not just as a church, but Christians, to visit those who are in there. And you say, yeah, but they're bad people. No, they're not. They are bad people, but they got caught. And their sins may not be punishable as your sins are. But honey, you are still a sinner just as they are. You are absolutely no better than the sorriest one in jail. The difference in you and them is the blood of Jesus Christ. And they can have it. And I was sitting there talking to him. He was crying. The old boy is one that I've talked about. And I've always been guilty of saying he had a good heart. But he don't, because he's got a human heart. But something's happened to him in jail. Yet again, we can say it's jailhouse religion. You can call it what you want to. And I don't know, and you don't know if it's real. So I got to go with his word. He had a big old smile on his face with tears coming down. I told him we'd been praying for him. He said, I got saved in here. I said, well, praise the Lord. He said, and he's never been able to read very much, and he didn't tell me who, but he said, they're teaching me to read. And he said, I've read from Psalms to Luke. And Luke's as far as I got because it takes me a long time to read it. And he looked at my boss. He said, I got that Bible that you gave me. And he said, I've been reading it. Now listen. First thing my old fleshy thing does, say, yeah, he got him a good dose of jailhouse religion. Give him 2 weeks and see what happens when he's out. We've done the same thing with old Kanye. We've done thrown him over the bus, and we say, Lord, change Hollywood. He changes one, and we doubt him. Others. We must serve others. The love, if you're abiding in Christ, if you're in Christ Jesus, he says that my joy might remain in you and your joy might be full. Love one another as I have loved you. I believe that means it's impossible to be in him and not love one another. Now, when you love one another, you do things for one another. When you love one another, you don't treat them like you hate them. You truly love them. So there's rejoicing in Christ Jesus. Lastly, us preachers think you got to stay with these letters. Not only is there rejoicing, but only this name can make you ready to meet God. Ready to meet God through Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse 26 through 35. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. And I said on Wednesday night, I taught just a short class in there. And I taught from where Elizabeth and Zechariah was to have a child named John. And where every bit of that, it talks about they was filled with the Holy Ghost. They was filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen to this. It said it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Simeon could go to meet God once he saw the salvation in Christ Jesus. I believe this is speaking to us today that, my friend, you are not ready to meet God. You're not ready to go on until you see the salvation of the Lord, which only comes through Christ Jesus. Simeon had lived a righteous life. And I believe God is telling us, oh, Simeon lived as close as a Jewish person could live in that day. But what made Simeon's heart right was he was looking forward to a Messiah. A lot of them had went on that just looked forward to him. And I believe they're saved from looking towards Jesus. But Simeon was blessed to get the hold and see the salvation of the Lord. I've said that I've never seen the Lord in my eyes. But the scripture says the word was made flesh. I've never seen the flesh, Terry. But I've seen the salvation of the Lord. It said the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Every page in this scripture is Jesus. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Simeon was ready to go once he had saw Jesus Christ. You, like Simeon, must see the Savior for who he is. I want you to understand something. Simeon did not know who Jesus was by Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph could have told him all they wanted to, and Simeon wouldn't have listened. Simeon was led to that synagogue that day, the Bible says, by the Spirit of God. You're here this morning, whether you believe it or not, by the Spirit of God. He allowed you to be here. He made it where you could be here. He put the message in my heart, upon my heart, to preach. It's no coincidence this morning that you're in the house of God. Simeon was drawn there by the Spirit of God. And by the Holy Ghost of God, did he show Simeon who Jesus was. Back to where I started. You must see him for who he is to you. Simeon was able to hold the very salvation of God in his hands. We can hold the word, and by faith we can believe it. And we can see. We can see through the eyes of faith who Jesus Christ is to us. You don't get one thing out of this sermon. Get this. He must be Jesus to you. The word Jesus means Savior. You talk about wanting a great gift. It's been given. It's been given. Your gift has been given. Years and years ago, he was given. And again, I think we're guilty of thinking, oh, this sweet little baby. Jesus came into the world as a sweet little baby. Listen, that sweet little baby created the world. In eternity past, he had thought about the world. It says in Scripture, all things was created by him, and without him was nothing made. Amen. He made it all. Jesus. He came in a fleshly form to be sacrificed because no other way would do it. There wasn't another person. We used to have in the Red Book hymnal a song that, now that I've been preaching for years, is the biggest lie that's ever been put in a hymnal. It says they searched through heaven to find a Savior. They didn't search through heaven. They knew who the Savior only could be. And they was Jesus. He knew it would take him. Coming in a fleshly to be sacrificed was the only way. Today, will you call his name Jesus? Joseph had to do it. I thought about this. You know how hard, we talk about how hard it is to talk to our loved ones about Jesus. What if you was raised with the Savior? What if you raised the Savior? Joseph had to trust in the work of his son for his salvation. Jesus' earthly brothers, they would have been half. They were no part of Joseph. They must have believed in him to see heaven. Our three girls would be in a mess. They don't think the other one's any good at all. He must be Jesus to you. You hear a lot, especially this time of year, saying we'll see a lot of pageantry. We'll see a lot of beautiful things. We'll hear a lot of beautiful names. A lot of beautiful songs. But I want you to think about one thing throughout this whole season. Do you call his name Jesus? Do you call his name Savior? You notice of all the names he was given throughout the Scripture, the one that stuck, that always was used, was Jesus, was Savior. Emmanuel, God with us. Boy, that's a good one. But Savior. Oh, Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, that's a great one. But Savior. Because God knows that's what we needed. If everyone would stand, and Pat would come play softly. Today, is he Jesus to you? Do you call his name Jesus? I hear people say, well, the good Lord, that's a good name. The man upstairs, I'm not sure about that one. You should call his name Jesus for Savior. If he has saved you from your sins today, you should be joyful. We should really have to hold you down to keep you from running. If you could really get a hold of what he did, of what he forgave you for, what the penalty was for sin, it would make a difference in your life. Today, do you understand? Do you know in your heart that he is Jesus to you? That he is your Savior? If you do not, and the Spirit of God has enlightened you to understand that you need him and that you are lost and that you can't do it on your own, today will you receive the best gift that has ever been offered to mankind. And that is Jesus. I can't do it for you. Your mother, your brother, your sister, can't nobody do it for you. It's a personal thing. Angel revealed to Joseph what his name was to be. But I believe it wasn't no accident that it was put in there in verse 25. He called his name Jesus. Today, be honest with yourself as she plays. There's time. You come. you, and you may be seated. Usher to come forth.